Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, as we continue looking at the opening verse of Paul's epistle to the Colossians, we are zeroing in on his own identity of himself as an apostle of Jesus Christ. He opens the book by saying, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. And then he goes on from there. But we are camping right there to try to understand the serious significance of this title, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. An apostle of Jesus Christ is one who was commissioned and authorized as a messenger of Christ. And I should follow that by saying, was authorized as a messenger of Christ in a unique way, in a way in which no one else was. Now, there's a sense in which every Christian becomes a messenger of Jesus Christ, right? We all have a responsibility, which is, I trust, we view as a great privilege, to represent Jesus Christ and to declare the gospel of Christ to others. And when we are communicating the Word of God to others, we become messengers of Jesus Christ. Fathers are messengers of Jesus Christ to their families. And witnesses, those who testify to others of the saving grace of Christ are messengers of Jesus Christ to others. But an apostle of Jesus Christ is a commissioned and authorized messenger in a unique sense, in a particularly significant sense. And my concern is that we may have lost sight of what that's all about and how important that is and what sets an apostle apart from others. And that's what I'm trying to remedy as we work our way through these words of the Apostle Paul, opening his epistle to the Colossians. So we greet you on this Friday, August 7, and we thank those of you whose gifts keep us teaching God's Word on this station. Well, as we have learned previously, Christ selected his apostles, and it was a very select group indeed. We read yesterday in Mark 3:13, and Jesus went up on the mountain and called to him those who he himself wanted, and they came to him. Then he appointed 12, that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach, and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons. So Christ selected his apostles. People didn't volunteer for that. I think there may be too much of that in our day. It is true that everyone, as I've already said, who is a Christian has a privilege and a relationship as an authorized messenger of Christ, having been authorized by the very Word of God itself. But this idea of having people just volunteer for any and every type of service, volunteer to become a pastor, volunteer to become a missionary, volunteer for this, volunteer for that. Well, nobody volunteered to become an apostle. Jesus didn't ask for volunteers. Jesus didn't permit volunteers. Jesus turned away volunteers, as we saw in the broadcast yesterday from Mark chapter 5 in the case of the demoniac of Gadara. Jesus selected his own apostles, And Jesus authorized them, and Jesus trained them, that they might be with him, an intense period of training. And Jesus empowered his apostles in a unique way. Too often people latch on to verses like this and say, well, that applies to me. Jesus gave to his apostles the power to heal sickness and to cast out demons, and so I've got that power today. I can do the same thing. I'm not so sure about that. I think we have lost sight of the uniqueness of these apostles. Jesus did not allow anyone who volunteered to be part of his apostolic band. He did not allow just anyone to be with him in this training, intense training situation. And he did not commission everyone with this kind of power. We don't find just any follower of Jesus Christ having this kind of power in the days of Christ, but it was the apostles of Christ. And furthermore, Jesus certified the teaching of his apostles, and I'm convinced we need to even view these words through the lens of apostleship, though we generally view them through the lens of universality, that is, universal to all of believers. And what words am I talking about? I'm thinking about the words of Jesus in John chapter 14 and 15 and 16, the upper room discourse, as he's getting ready to leave this world and his final preparation of his apostles for his death and departure, death and resurrection, but ascension and departure, and giving them the responsibility of carrying on his mission in the world and establishing his church and advancing his cause. And he is giving them the tools to do that. And so he says to them in John chapter 14 and verse 26, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." Again, there's one of those verses I think we have to weigh very carefully. I don't think we can say that that has no application to anyone except the apostles, but I think we have to read it in the light of apostleship, and particularly the last words, "Bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." How can that apply to anyone who was not an apostle? The apostles were present with Jesus upon the earth, and they were present with him in a way that even other believers who did see him with their own eyes and hear him with their own ears, who heard the Sermon on the Mount, for example, and heard other areas of his teaching. But Jesus was with these apostles, or maybe I should say they were with him in a way that nobody else was. Back to Mark 3:14, he appointed the 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach, that they might be with him. They were with him 24/7 in a way that nobody else was, and they heard things from his lips, therefore, that nobody else did. They not only heard his public teaching when he taught the multitudes, but they heard a lot of private teaching when he was walking with them along the road and through the grain fields and up into the mountains and the various places he went. He was teaching them, training them all the time. They heard things that nobody else on earth heard. And now Jesus said in John 14, "I will send the Holy Spirit, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." This is a guarantee that the Holy Spirit would bring back to the minds of the apostles what they had been taught by Jesus. And therefore, what they taught others would in fact be the words of Jesus, right? If the Holy Spirit is bringing back to their minds the things that Jesus said to them, then what they taught others would be the very words of Jesus. Again, we read in chapter 15 of John, verses 26 and 27. "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning." Does that apply to me? No. Does that apply to you? No. Who does that apply to? The 12 apostles, in a way that it cannot apply to anyone else. And then we move on to chapter 16 of John, in verse 12 and 13. I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. So, in spite of the fact that they heard more words from Jesus than anybody else did, they still didn't hear everything they needed in order to carry out their commission. They are the apostles of Christ, selected, authorized, commissioned messengers of Christ, who have been personally trained by Christ, and who are being given the Holy Spirit to guarantee that they will remember the words that Christ taught them, but then the things that he could not tell them now because they weren't ready to receive them, they weren't prepared to bear them now, as he puts it here, they nevertheless will be taught other things that will reflect, yeah, that's probably too weak a word, that will represent, that may be even too weak a word, that will communicate, there's the right word, to communicate the very words of Christ. The Holy Spirit will do that for them because he is going to give them other words of Christ that Christ didn't give them. That's what it says. He will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears from Jesus, he will speak to you, and he will tell you things to come. In other words, the apostles are given divine revelation. They are promised that they will be given divine revelation to be able to pass on to others. And therefore, the words of an apostle are the words of Christ. Remember, we're talking about the identification of the one, humanly speaking, who penned this book we call Colossians. He identifies himself in the opening words, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. We have learned that an apostle is commissioned and authorized by Christ. Apostles were selected by Christ, trained by Christ, empowered by Christ. Christ certified their teaching, and the words of an apostle are the words of Christ. This is part of the whole body of evidence that the New Testament scriptures are the inspired word of God. When someone else who didn't have this kind of commissioning spoke or wrote, that wasn't the word of God. But when Paul wrote, it was. Because he's an apostle of Jesus Christ. And the words of an apostle are the words of Christ. Not every word they ever spoke, not when they were talking with their family around the table, everything they said is not going to be the word of God. But when they wrote, and many times when they spoke, they were speaking the very words of Jesus Christ. They were equipped to do that. They were authorized to do that. They were enabled to do that in a way that nobody else was. And this is why the role of apostle is so vitally important, and this is why Paul mentions it to this church, I think, because he had not founded the church of Colossae. We're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves now. But they would not necessarily know this. Well, they probably, no doubt, they knew about Paul, they'd heard about Paul, they probably identified him as an apostle of Christ. But he's going to tell them with his own pen that he is an apostle, so they will pay very close attention to what he says. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.